stripes I am
healed. Oh, let's give him a hand clap of praise. Our God is awesome. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for being here today. Happy Father's Day to each and every one of you. At the close of this service, we will actually be having some baptisms of some children, three of them actually. And we are excited about that. Sister Elise, amen. They are all out there, so we will send and get them at the end. And also T-Mark and Felicia's children, we are excited about what God is doing in the hearts and lives of our children. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the Word quickly. I am preaching what God has given me. And it just happens to be on Father's Day. In order to save some time, we're going to go to 1 Samuel 31, verses 1 through 13. But to save some time, I want to highlight just a few passages out of this text. Starting with verse 2, and the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And then in verse 6, so Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together. And then verse 8, about midway in the verse, they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And then verse 12, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan. Then I'd like to turn your attention quickly to Luke 23 and verse 28. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. I would like to preach this morning, weep for your children. Weep for your children. Dear Jesus, we come before you today as humble servants, not perfect, but forgiven by your blood and your love. Lord, we ask that you would touch each and every person here today. Let your word go forth and do a work. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. One of the greatest privileges afforded in this life, outside of the opportunity to be forgiven of sins, is the privilege of enjoying precious children. My wife and I, have no children of our own, but we have inherited through the years several children, including many of yours, that we deal with on a weekly basis, and they are just a pleasure to work with. And to see the things as they figure out the little light bulbs coming on in their life. You know, it's just, it's amazing. It's very rewarding when you're in ministry to watch children. And children coming into the world, it gives you the sweetest of joys, the purest of pleasures, and the fondest of memories. Maybe you are here today like myself, you're not a parent, but you have had children or people in your life, if they come up, that you have been able to mentor and to have an effect on, and them have an effect on you. Along with the happiness that endures, there comes also an equal responsibility. God puts the souls of children into our hands and gives us a role of having great influence with them and on them. But not only upon them here and now, but also upon their future and their ever after. They are only possessions that you and I have, that they're the only possessions that we have that are not made for time, but they will live on either in eternal joy or eternal sorrow. In Lubbock, Texas, many years ago at Texas Tech University, a senator from Oregon came to give a lecture about the problems of the world. He named crisis after crisis that was going on and that he was facing and the world was facing. And then he stopped and he told a personal story of how one night while he was doing some research on a bill that he was going to be voting on in the Senate relating to some stuff being done in Africa, he wanted to know as much about the country and its location as he could before making a decision on which way he would vote in the upcoming vote. And he wanted to know their political alliances, what nations bordered on their sides, what kind of development was in that land. And being a little ignorant of the exact location of this particular country, he made his way into his son's room. It was nighttime, and he tiptoed through the room as to not wake the sleeping boy. He picked up the world globe that sat on his desk, and as he was tiptoeing out of his son's room, the boy sat up in the middle of the bed and he asked his dad, "What are you doing with my world? What are you doing with my world?" And I'd like to ask everyone here today, both parent and non-parent, what are you doing with our children's world? By the way we live, what type of world are you building for them? They're not going to be able to choose the church that they will occupy in later years. They are not going to be able to decide all about the things that they like and feel are good and the things that they determine are harmful and wrong. They are not going to come to natural responses through the various problems of life all by themselves. But every day that they live, they are going to fasten their gaze upon those individuals, those men and women who are symbolic of everything that is honest and true and real and lasting and to be desired. And someday, as sure as I'm standing before you right now, our children, your children, are going to become a whole lot like you and I are. For you are going to mold their lives by the way you live. If you're spiritual, they'll love God. If you can take it or leave it, that's the same attitude they're going to have towards church and the things of God. If you read the Word, they'll read the Word. If you pray every day, they'll pray. If you come to church when the doors are open, they're going to come to church when the doors are open. But if somewhere down the road of life, they detect a half-heartedness about the church, a phoniness about the culture of God's people, they'll slip out and find something in the past, something worth giving their lives for in this world, and they will walk away from God and the things of God. You can teach kids what you know, but you will reproduce what you are. Did you hear that? You can teach them everything you know, but you're going to reproduce what you are. What you are. I know a lot of times children go wrong. I know we have hiccups here and there with dealing with children and young people. I know they're not perfect, but God never made it so that a school could have more influence on a child than a home. God's plan did not provide whereby a lack of religion in a community or a society could override a spiritual force that came from behind the prayer closet of a mama and a daddy or a praying saint of God or a grandparent that got on their knees in prayer. Our children may spend around 30 hours a week in school. They may spend another 15 hours with their friends. They may spend a few hours a week in the sanctuary of the Most High, but the majority of the words they learn, the majority of the actions they begin to live, the majority of their thought process, their basic attitude towards life and about life, the desires of their souls comes to them. Hear me, it comes to them right out of the inside of the woman who brought them into the world and the father that started that process sometime before. It comes from the home. It comes from the protected place that they trust and feel safe. We are only privileged to allow them to come to life and into life through us, but they did not come to life from us. They were given into your home and into our home, not to worship you, not to worship me, not to worship any one individual, but that we might teach them how to worship God and how to love God and how to know the things of God, and that Jesus died on Calvary for them, and that they can be overcomers by the shedding of his blood and the word of their testimony. You as parents, you as mentors, you as saints of God, we are nothing more than living souls from which children are launched into life, from which they will never ever leave. And after he gives them to you, he allows you all the byproducts, the bouncing on the knee, the bandaging of the skinned elbows, the little arms grabbing you around the leg, the slamming of the doors, all the pleasantries that come with children into the home. But he also says, Daddy, Mama, that girl is mine. That boy is mine. I'm giving them to you just for a little while, but someday I'm going to reclaim that soul. Don't abuse it. Don't criticize it. Don't break it down. Don't give it a hard time. Don't beat it. Don't fool it with the example of your life into being something other than an individual that mirrors God's characteristics, because the children belong to God, because their life is in his hands. Guess what? Your life is in his hands. Everyone here today at some point, and you still are, by the way, you have been a child. You were somebody's child somewhere. You didn't just start wiggling and then you were. You had a mom and a daddy somewhere, good or bad. And men and women have molded you and helped form you into the person that you are today. Someday, all of us are going to return to God's presence and stand before him. Someday. He has made some very definite laws about how children must be reared and how he wants them treated in this world. And Deuteronomy 6, we're going to go to that. We find Moses in this passage. Moses is talking to the children of Israel, and he is telling them how they are to preserve their heritage and how they are to preserve their children and their kingdom. And verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thou days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of their fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. What is the Lord trying to say, and what is he saying? He's saying the home is the center of education and instruction. He was saying the home is the very foundation block of which my kingdom is going to be made. He was saying as strong as the home is going to be, the church will be. But the home must be where the father becomes the priest. Hear me, becomes the priest of the household and takes to his own heart to learn the word of God. Expect them to live it, read it, believe it, do it. If you're not willing trying to read it, live it, believe it, and do it. Hallelujah. You must hide the word away in your own heart and love it with all of your heart. Diligently try to make a transfer of that truth into the souls of those little bitty children that will live on and rule in the world of tomorrow. I walked in, my wife has got the Sunday school class in the back now. And I walked in and she had a big frown on her face. She said, it's so frustrating to prepare a lesson. And not one kid of my class age group shows up. Several are sick, several are out traveling. But that doesn't mean that the time getting ready and preparing wasn't the same. There was still time. Late last night, I called, hey, are you coming to bed? I'm working on my Sunday school message. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm a believer that every man and woman who train up their child in the way that they should go. There may come those times of rebellion in the teenage years. There may be periods when you don't understand at all what they're thinking or what they're doing. There may be times when your child wants to spread their wings and do their own thing. But if you've done your best in the home, you don't have to worry very much about the destiny of that boy or that girl, because somewhere down the way, the Lord is going to engineer a crisis or a problem, a situation to bring them back to him and themselves. Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Why is it that there are so many people who have left the church and gone their way in the world of sin? It's not the fault of a holy God or of a loving pastor. It's not the fault of a Sunday school teacher that does their best to funnel in the word of God and the word of truth on a Sunday morning. It's not the fault of the world. It's not even the fault of Satan or sin, but it comes right back to men and women and parents who for some reason or another, we get so wrapped up in everyday living that we forget the most important thing, working and overtime and pressure, and our children grow up around us. And before we know it, they're 40 and 50. And we're getting old and going away. They grow up and they never get their feet into the truth of God. And when the door comes open, they make their way away from the cross. This is a great church. I'm so honored that God has put us here with you. This is an awesome church. But even as great as this church is, with all that this church has to offer, it will not make up for a laxness on your part, mom, or a carelessness on your part, dad, or a laxness on your part, saint of God. You are mentoring. Our children are watching each and every one of us. This church isn't going to override the example that they receive in the home. Home. There's only one guarantee for the home. There's only one guarantee for the future of the family. There's only one seal that you can place on the door of that hallowed house that will keep the place in unity and bring the place together around the white throne. And that's when you do your part as a praying father and a praying mama. My generation has been a rebellious generation. In our day, the respect for the policeman has been stripped from his badge. He's the pig. He's the cop. He's someone to stay away from. In our day, the flag has come down from the top of the shining pole where it bears itself in the breeze. And it put forth a message of freedom to every man. And it's the stars and stripes that give him all the joys, and we are able to have the freedoms that we have in this great land. It's not as respected as it once was. Some say it should be okay to burn the flag, but I say no. No. In our day, moms have become the old lady. Dad's become the fellow that looks over our shoulder trying to catch us doing something wrong. We've had dope. We've had all kinds of drugs. We've had immorality as in high fashion. And the first thing the world did was to look at this generation and say, what a lot of lousy kids. What a bunch of brats. How ungrateful could they be? We never had it so good. What an ungrateful bunch of kids that we have. I want to tell you, this generation is not entirely to blame for the situations that we are facing today. They're not entirely to blame for the drugs that are pouring into their bodies. They're not the ones that chose that road to walk. Their moms and their dads chose that direction before they were ever brought into the world. All they did was start down the same road and follow it a little bit farther. Let me tell you, saint of God, what you accept, the children around us will embrace and take it to the next level. Yes, they will. What are those children supposed to become when they grow up without a Bible, when they grow up without a church, when they grow up without the sounds of mama and daddy praying in their house? How else are they supposed to go? They didn't know which road to take. They were just foolish enough to believe and to think that maybe it's the road that daddy's on, and maybe I'll just walk a little bit further this time. No time in the home. Folks, it starts in the home. I'm not mad at anybody here, but I'm mad at Satan for robbing us of our homes and our families and breaking us up. I'm asking in Jesus' name, I'm challenging you today, get your home in order. Get in right relationship right here with God so the things around you, maybe you don't have children in the home, but the children and the young people are watching you here today. They watch how you walk. They watch how you talk. They watch how you respond. They watch your attitude when you leave. Belshazzar, what a foolish man we find in the Bible. We all know how he had a feast. All of his lords, thousands of them, their concubines. They ate, they drank themselves under the table. They were hardly able to walk. They were so stupid in their liquor until finally late in the night when they had exhausted every other alternative. They had done everything that had already ever been done. The devil put a thought in his mind, and why don't you go? Why don't I go get the vessels from the temple of God, and we'll just get a little bit drunker and from the wine that comes from their lip. So they sent out to the storehouse, and the precious things of God were brought into the den of iniquity. It wasn't long until the wine was flowing and they were being bent as they were dropped on the cobblestone floor. And while it was all going